Folks, this is somewhat of an experimental Mason in Ireland show because, as Chris Morales said, Mason is back, but he's playing hurt a little bit. Mace, explain your situation.
Okay, so I went to when I came home from the Dodger game the other night, the next day I got...
That was Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. Next day I came in and I played hurt. My voice was blown out. Then it turned into a really nasty cold. Then I went and got COVID tested three different times and just to make sure it wasn't COVID. And now I've been in bed all day. I'm tanked on NyQuil, but I'm ready to give it a run today.
Sometimes the best shows are when somebody is tanked on NyQuil. So we're looking forward to your brutal honesty. Bergman's here. How you doing, Bergie?
What's going on? And by the way, John, you have lost $2,000 of Mythical
Base.
Money.
I bet two. I thought you were pulling a Chuck Booms. We used to work with
this guy,
great guy, comedian named Chuck Booms, who
wasn't he a great guy?
Oh yeah, really funny. You ever see him do stand up?
Yeah, no.
Okay,
I remember he missed all the Fridays.
Well, that was it.
Yeah.
He miraculously would take off every Friday. And the guys that ran the network that we were working for at the time really didn't know how to stand up to him.
Right, right.
So it went on for, what do you think, 3 months, 4 months before somebody finally said something to him?
Hey, and what's wrong with you on Fridays, dude?
Yeah, and it would always be a Friday.
Yep.
And he would always take it off. So when you took Thursday off, I said, oh, Mace is going for the four-day weekend. He's just basically... counting the Cardinal Ram game Sunday at 1 as a work day, and he's taken Friday, Saturday off.
So I bet
$2,000 against you. So I won $10,000 yesterday for winning Game of Games for the month, but I've already lost $2,000 betting against you.
I almost came in yesterday. I almost went on yesterday. Bergman knows how close I was. I was really close to coming on yesterday because I thought, all right, I had a little soft period on Wednesday night, and I was like, okay, think maybe I can do it. Think maybe I couldn't do it. Just couldn't go. And today... I thought, all right, I'm going to get on because it's a big day. It's a Dodgers closing in on the Giants in the National League West.
Well, almost. At the first inning, the stupid Diamondbacks loaded the bases.
Yep.
And got three runs off the Giants in the first inning. And I even said, it's not enough. That gives the Giants just enough rope to come back. Sure enough, the Giants came back. And the Giants' magic number to win the division is now two.
Two.
It could end tonight.
They'd have to lose two out of three, and the Dodgers would have to sweep for them.
Right. And the Dodgers have won what, Bergman? 9 in a row already? Aren't they on some ridiculous win streak now?
They're on a pretty good win streak. I don't know exactly what it is.
I think it's 9 in a row. And so they would have to win out. Like you said, Mace, to quote Jim Carrey, there is a chance.
There is a chance.
But I want to ask you, by the way, your voice does not sound as bad as
good.
You think it sounds.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah, you sound like yourself. So... here's my question, and it's an honest question.
Okay.
And by the way, let me point out a couple of things. We got one more pair of tickets to give away to Cardinals-Rams,
cool.
Which I think is the game of the week.
Yeah, no question.
Undefeated, both teams undefeated. Matthew Stafford and Kyler Murray, generally regarded as two of maybe five people in the MVP race after 3 weeks. So you're going to get to see the two favored quarterbacks in the MVP race.
Yes.
Sunday at SoFi. You'll be there, assuming you don't turn for the worst. You'll
be
there
Sunday. As long as I hold up and I keep moving in the right direction, I'm absolutely going to be there.
And I'm going to be at Staples Center on Sunday.
Right.
Because it's Lakers Nets at 12:30. And so, the Dodgers in a game that we don't think will mean anything, but they play at noon. So everybody plays at noon in Major League Baseball on Sunday. So a crazy sports weekend.
Yeah.
And so here's my question.
Real fast, John. The Dodgers have won four in a row.
There you go.
Oh, when did they lose? Oh, yeah, they won in...
They lost to the Diamondbacks on Saturday, and they lost to the Rockies last Wednesday.
Okay, so they've only won four games in a row. So if they win out, their win streak will be seven.
Correct.
Okay, so here's my question. No, it's not a wheel of questions. That happens later. We do have that today. All right. Theoretically...
mm-hmm.
What we think is going to happen is that the Dodgers are going to the wild card game, which will be next Wednesday at Dodger Stadium. All right? That means tonight, Milwaukee in town, Clayton Kershaw going to the mound for the Dodgers. Kershaw,
yes.
Arguably the greatest regular season pitcher the Dodgers have ever had. His regular season statistics Stack up to Koufax, Drysdale, Fernando, anybody.
And pitched two great games in the World Series last year. Yeah. Let's give him credit for that.
All right. So, I'm just stating facts here. Tonight could be the last time Clayton Kershaw ever starts a game for the Dodgers. He is an unrestricted free agent at the end of this season.
Right.
If it is, don't you think the Dodger Stadium crowd tonight should recognize that, give him a standing ovation every time he comes off the mound, make him feel the appreciation that he's given us his whole career, or is that just putting bad karma into the universe? Then what you're admitting, if you treat tonight like a last night for Kershaw, aren't you admitting that there is a possibility you would lose the Cardinals in the wild card game and the season could be over?
Wait a minute. You're saying if you don't cheer Kershaw tonight.
No, if you don't cheer him over the top.
Then it means we lose to the Cardinals?
Recognize. Yeah, the only way this would be Kershaw's last start as a Dodger.
Yeah.
Is if he starts tonight, regardless of what happens.
Right.
The wild card game is next Wednesday. The Dodgers pitch Scherzer.
Uh-huh.
The Cardinals win and the season is over. Then Kershaw never pitches another game after tonight. That's it. Tonight's
so
his last
saying,
start.
Cheer him like it's the last night
Should
he's
you?
Ever going to pitch for us.
Should you?
Come on, Kershaw.
Should you recognize his greatness tonight just in case it's his final game, or do you not even want to put that out there?
Yeah, I don't want to put that out there. First of all, I don't think Clayton Kershaw is done with the Dodgers. I mean, I don't know how much he's looking for or how much. You know, he was on a two-year $60 million contract, I think his
right.
current deal is expiring. I'm not sure that
but
he's
no,
not
like Madison
coming
Bumgarner,
back.
The Giant fans never thought he was leaving. The Cubs fans never thought Greg Maddux. You never know when one of your guys is leaving.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I get the sense that he's going to come back. And by the way, I don't want to put out there that this could be his last game because I hope Talley pitches in the NLDS.
Right.
Starting next Friday.
Right,
so,
but if they lose Wednesday, there would be no NLDS.
Don't even say if.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Wednesday.
Bergman, what do you think?
So I think it's kind of the same thing. As much as I think this is terrible juju and I don't like it, it goes even further. If they go into the NLDS, let's say they beat the Cardinals, Kershaw might not pitch in those first three games. You might still go Buehler, Urias, and then Scherzer. So
right. And if they were
you
to
might
lose
not even
that
pitch
series,
him there.
Then you don't get Kershaw in the playoffs either.
Right, exactly. But I also think that he's going to come back. And it's not going to be on some gigantic $100 million deal that he
got now.
But I think he could come back on a year or two, kind of like what Adam Wainwright
there
just did.
There is a scenario out there that could play right into Kershaw's hands, could play into Scherzer's hands. And that's the Angels. The Angels are going to have to go out and get pitching or else there's going to be a mutiny. Otani's going to leave. Trout's going to demand a trade. Why would you want to stay and play in Anaheim if they continue to ignore the pitching? That I think that the Angels are going to make somebody. I don't know if it's going to be Scherzer. I don't know if it's going to be Kershaw. But, Mace, you pointed out earlier in the week that the starting pitching free agents, it's not that robust. There aren't a ton
out
there.
No, there aren't a ton of great guys in the market.
And so whoever is out there, the Angels are going to throw the offer you can't refuse at. And so that could be it if you're a Dodger. Because Dodger fans aren't Angel fans. There are Dodger fans that have had season tickets to the Dodgers for 25 years
yep.
who've never set foot in Anaheim. Mason, have you ever been to a game in Anaheim?
Oh, yeah. I remember for a while there, weren't we the Angel Station at some
point?
Yeah, we were going down there.
Bergman, have you been to a game in Anaheim?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually a pretty nice stadium.
Yeah, it's a nice stadium.
But I don't think Dodger fans recognize Anaheim as part of Los Angeles.
No, I do not. I don't think it's L.A.
Right. So
it's literally Orange County.
If Kershaw were to leave, and you're somebody that's watched him pitch his whole career, and you don't recognize him tonight, are you being a bad fan?
Do you really think people are thinking this way, that maybe
this is
it for Kershaw? I don't think people are thinking that way. You're saying people should give him an ovation that is over and above what he would normally get because maybe this
appreciation,
is the last game.
Yes, as an appreciation for everything he's done for the Dodgers.
No, I'm not thinking that way. Bergman, are you thinking that way?
No, I'm not really. But, I mean, he's a great pitcher just in general. So cheering him is not a bad thing at all.
What
I mean,
I'm, Greg, what I'm talking
it.
About is he walks
like
out
over
there
the top.
Pitch. Yeah,
yeah, like the okay, whole so, standing ovation.
Or I'll,
the
give
whole
you,
deal.
I'll give you an example.
Okay.
In Colorado the other day, Trevor Story is an unrestricted free
right,
agent.
And he's leaving for
and,
sure.
And the
I
Rockies
mean,
don't really
totally
pay
different.
Free agents. So they did kind of a cool thing. When the Rockies take the field at Coors Field, Charlie Blackmon always leads them out of the dugout.
Right.
So Blackmon went to Story and he said, hey, there's a decent chance this is going to be your last game at home as a Rocky. You lead us out. And when Story ran out of the dugout to take his position at shortstop, the other eight players stayed back. So Story was the only person on the field. And the crowd recognized what was happening, and they gave him like a 3-minute ovation for everything he had done for the Rockies. Would that be appropriate for Kershaw tonight?
No, because I think Story is definitively going to leave. I mean, it's been well reported that he's off. They should have traded him at the deadline. I don't know why they didn't. That's like general manager malpractice.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense at all since he's going to be gone. But he's indicated he's leaving, and the Rockies have indicated that they are rebuilding. And so I think in that case, they know he's leaving. In this case, I think a lot of Dodger fans hold hope out that Kershaw is going to – that they're going to work out a deal and find a way to stay. You know, I remember reading all of Ramona's stuff and Molly Knight's stuff when Kershaw signed his last deal. And the one thing that they talked about was that Mark Walter, who is the principal owner of the Dodgers, has a great respect for the history of the game and for the history of the franchise. And I think for that reason, there's a decent chance that Kershaw does come back next year.
There is a decent chance, and there's a better than likely chance that he's pitching 2 weeks from now.
Yes.
But the possibility is that it could end tonight, and maybe the – do you think the Dodgers do anything? The Dodgers aren't going to do anything to recognize him tonight, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think they're going on as is. I mean, as of right now, the season's not over. The season I guess conceivably this could be Clayton Kershaw's final start for the
yeah.
Dodgers.
Well, you guys are more worried about the Cardinals than I am. I'm betting
well,
50
I mean,
grand in
at
mythical
Max,
money on the
I'm
Dodgers.
I'm looking at Max Scherzer, 10 innings, 10 earned runs in his last
right.
10 innings. I mean, I'm looking
right.
at a guy who's struggling right now.
Right. So then using that logic, it's a coin flip whether Kershaw ever pitches after tonight. Because according to you, the Cardinals are hot. They have Wainwright coming in, and would you say there's a 50% chance for the Cardinals to win that wild card game?
100%, 50%.
Yeah, so right there. Then you're even admitting that this could be Kershaw's last start of the year. Now, whether he comes back next year is a whole bunch of other factors, but I guarantee you the Angels are going to throw 3 years, $100 million at somebody. I don't know who it's going to be, but their team is ready to mutiny and break up if they don't go get some pitching.
See, I think it's more likely that we come back to next year with Kershaw than we come back to next year with Scherzer.
Well, I think the Angels would offer it to Scherzer first, don't you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bergman, don't you think it's more likely we see Kershaw back than Scherzer back?
I think it's more likely if you have to choose one or the other. Yeah, it's more likely that Kershaw will be back. But I think they bring both of them back.
I mean, I hope so.
I don't see why they wouldn't. Both of them are happy being here. Both of them have
money is the answer to your
sure
question.
Sure money absolutely.
The
but
Angels
it's also
are
about
pay
winning
a lot more.
It's also about winning and winning
Greg,
culture
if,
and from top to bottom, John. It's not just money, especially with Scherzer. Who it's if they win it this year, he'll have two. He's going to want to stay on a winning team. He's not going to want to go to a team that never makes the playoffs.
Right. If the Dodgers offer Kershaw 1 year, $30 million, which is a good offer.
That's a really big offer.
And the Angels offer him 3 years, $90 million, what do you think he's going to do?
I mean, he might do that, but he also, again, culture.
Wouldn't even have
and
to move.
He's been with the Dodgers
the
forever.
House.
He's been, but yeah, he's been with the Dodgers forever.
Yeah, he's made, you're talking about.
Let me tell you something. Mason and I have been at ESPN forever. If somebody offers me triple the money to leave, see ya. Nice working with you guys.
No
it's
way.
It's business.
I'm staying here.
Okay, good. I'll take the money and run. But it's business. And by the way, anything we talk about today, you guys can be a part of. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. And we're giving away a pair of tickets to Rams-Cardinals for the lie of the day. It's my lie. Oh, Mace. Yesterday, I threw out like 10 stories. I thought I had a great, I thought it was going to be just like the day before where I fooled like six people.
Yep.
And the very first caller sniffed me out. Wow. He didn't believe that I broke up with a girl on a Post-it note, which I didn't. Well, I made it up.
That's a great story, though. That's a great story.
Well, I stole it from Sex and the City.
That's like breaking up over text. Breaking up over text, very bad form. Breaking up on a Post-it note, even worse form.
Yeah, but nobody believed I would do it, so the guy got the tickets. But
that doesn't sound like you. That doesn't sound like you. 3:30
today, we're giving away. So listen to the whole show. Sniff out my lie today, my lie of the day, and you can be our guest. Two free tickets, Cardinals-Rams on Sunday.
Are you more concerned after watching Scherzer the last two starts going into this St. Louis game?
Yes. I even tried, while you were gone, I tried to back out of my 50 grand. I wanted to lower it to 10 grand. But it was determined that that would kind of be cheating.
So yeah, that is absolutely cheating.
So I'm sticking with the 50. No, by the way, I'm sticking with the 50.
It was determined that it would kind of be cheating? You had already made the bet.
Well, it's before the bet. Cheating. It's before the bet. I think any bet before the event, you should be able to tweak. But I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm good
then bet the Dodgers winning National League West?
Stop it.
No,
well, stop
I came around to Bergman's way of, I came around to Bergman's way of thinking that, you know what, the way he phrased it was, you go to the window, you get your slip.
Yes,
once you have your slip, that's it. And I pointed out to him, he has given me no slip, but that didn't work.
The slip is on the paper. It's on the computer.
So, 50 grand. By the way, did Julio Urias maybe back in to the Cy Young Award based on everything that's been happening this week? We'll get into that next. We got the Rams. We got the Lakers. The Sixers have decided not to pay Ben Simmons. He was owed a ton of money today, and the Sixers said, screw you, come in or we're not paying you. We'll get into that whole bunch of stuff on a huge sports weekend. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right, Morales. Nonstop, all the time. It's like a day of a Laker game, right?
My
just
voice
talk
is just
all day and
just
talk
a little
all
off. Just a little off today.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as bad as you think.
Yeah, it just sounds terrible. In my
so let me but ask you this, as Michael would say. Max Scherzer was looking like he was going to win the Cy Young Award until his last two starts. His last two starts have kind of taken him, if not from the favorite, definitely not a lock. Sure, I don't know if Scherzer wins it or not. But Julio Urias, who has one more start yet left, Mace, has a chance to finish 20-3. And right now his ERA is exactly 3.00. So if he pitches well in his last start, he could finish 20-3 with an ERA under 3. If you go to ESPN, has this thing called a Cy Young predictor.
Okay.
Okay. If you go to it, Julio Urias is now number 1 on the Cy Young predictor. And again, I'm saying he would be 20-3, and if he throws well the other night, he could lower his ERA to under 3.
Right.
Now, Jason Stark wrote a column today for The Athletic that says Corbin Burns from Milwaukee should be the Cy Young Award winner, and he says it's not close.
He's had a really big year.
He says Burns leads the league in strikeout rate. He points out a whole bunch of other stuff that he says he's having a season that's comparable only to Pedro Martinez in his prime. He said that statistically, Burns is the guy. But I don't know how you don't vote for 20-3 with an ERA under 3. Do you think Julio Urias has a chance to win the Cy Young Award?
You know, I think he does. I think that 20 number still means something. I mean, it doesn't happen very often that a guy wins 20 games. And Julio has pitched really well the entire season long, has really not had, you know, had one bad start a couple of weeks ago, but settled in this last Sunday through 5 scoreless. 20 wins counts for something. I know that we've gone through years where Jake DeGrom has been 12-13 or 11-10 or whatever it is and has thrown down a really great earned run average. And that's really the Corbin Burns model. He's 11-4 and a 2.29 ERA. And so I get that. I get that. But at the same time, I think Julio with 20 wins should be the Cy Young Award winner.
So interestingly, Stark, who wrote a whole column on this and lays out his case for Burns, this would be his ballot. Burns 1, Zach Wheeler 2, Max Scherzer 3, Walker Buehler 4, Brandon Woodruff 5. He doesn't even have Urias in the top 5.
That's fascinating.
Which makes me think that the stat heads, like Jason, are out on Julio. That if he's not even in his top 5, then that's good. But again, the ESPN Cy Young predictor, the one that takes everything into account, has Urias number 1. So there's a huge disparity here about what all these people are thinking. I'm not sure what happens. I think Urias has to pitch well in his last start. I think that would help.
Do you think the Dodgers should rethink starting Max Scherzer in the wild card game?
I think you should have a very short leash. I think the mistake,
because Walker Buehler threw so well the game we were at Tuesday night. Walker Buehler threw so well, 7 innings, 2 hit baseball, only took him 90 pitches, looked like himself again. He would be available to pitch the wild card game. Do you think they should rethink it?
I would start Scherzer on a very short leash. I think one of the biggest mistakes in Dodger history was how long Dave Roberts stuck with Yu Darvish in Game 7 of that Astros World Series. He just left Darvish in to get hammered, and I think the Astros scored 4 runs in the first 2 innings.
Yeah, he left him in 2 innings.
I don't think – and they brought in Kershaw, and didn't Kershaw throw 4 scoreless innings?
I think he threw at 5 scoreless, I think, as I remember that
when
game.
When the whole season comes down to one game, if Scherzer loads the bases in the first inning, I've seen enough. I don't need to find out whether or not he's on. That's abnormal for him.
I mean, I think it depends, because if he loads the bases in the first inning and he gets out of it, then you
don't,
let him.
No, I don't. I'm not letting him get out of
he's
it.
He's not going to let him get out of it.
No, I know that's you're saying. They are going to let him try and get out of it. First inning,
that's
absolutely.
Just baseball.
Yeah, that's baseball.
So that's what Dave Roberts did with Yu Darvish, and how'd that work out?
Well, yeah, it was an inning and 2/3, and it was just a disaster. But you trust Max Scherzer more than you do Yu Darvish. It's a totally different situation. If it's the first inning and he doesn't get out of it, if he gives up one hit, then maybe you start thinking about taking him out. But the problem is, you're not going to have anybody in the bullpen getting ready to go. You're not expecting this to happen. So even if he does load the bases, nobody's going to be available to you to come in.
This
you can't just be like,
all
right,
guys,
hey, bring in the lefty.
You guys, this idea that you guys are espousing that you would owe it to any player to let him work.
It's not owing.
It's
not owing.
It's just not the way the game is played.
Well, but you can play the game any way you want. You're the manager. If he lets the first two guys on, I get Buehler up right then.
You'd pull him after the first two
guys? I'd get Buehler up.
Okay, see, that's the thing. When do you, and you're going to go with Buehler. So, okay, so now you've now taken Scherzer and you've burned him. He's burned for that game. He's not going to start again for another 4 or
right.
5 days.
Right.
And then you're going to bring Buehler in
right.
to burn him in the wild card, so
great.
You don't have him for Friday
great.
Either.
So then Urias starts game 1.
And
in
Kershaw
the
starts
DS.
Game 2.
Right.
It's the luxury you have. You do not mess around with this one game. It's a one-game playoff.
Okay,
if
so
you lose, your season is over.
So when do you start, like, in this scenario, when do you bring Buehler up to get him up working?
2 on, nobody out, he's up.
Okay, so it takes him a while to warm up.
Yep.
By that point, it could be bases loaded. By that point, the run could be home.
Yeah, fake an injury and buy some time. I don't care. I don't leave Scherzer in if he loads the bases with nobody out.
You might as well just start warming up Buehler. By the way, that's how little confidence you have in Max Scherzer. You're going to get Buehler up with
up.
2 runners
get
on.
Him up. I may have Buehler warming up when Scherzer walks out to the mound to throw his
yeah,
first
pitch. Simultaneous.
It's his throw day, Mace. It's his throw day.
That's a real vote of confidence for Max Scherzer. Hey, we're going to start you, Max, but Buehler's going to be warming up at the same time.
We need an insurance policy.
This is how baseball works, though. How many times did you see Zach Greinke struggle in the first inning, get out of it after like 25, 30 pitches, and then he just floated through the next 6? it happens all the time. That first inning can be a little bit tricky, but you have to let them at least try and get out of it at some point. If he starts giving up a couple runs, yeah, got to get him out of there.
This is the guy you previously anointed as the greatest pitcher in the history of the world as of two weeks ago.
He is, for now. But if he, it wasn't last night. Hey, it's a one-game playoff. I don't have time to worry about anybody's feelings, all right? I need to win one game any way I can. I would pitch 9 different pitchers and then worry about game one of the next series after that if it gets me out of that game against the Cardinals.
And
you guys got to get your heads around. You guys got to get your heads around the fact that if they lose
the Cardinals game, you were also laissez-faire about the Cardinals game.
No,
now
I think
you
the
sound
Dodgers,
nervous.
I think the Dodgers win it. But what I'm saying is, I have no tolerance for your attitude of it's just not how it's done.
Well, it
I
just
don't
isn't
give
how
a
it's
crap.
Done.
I don't give a crap. I don't care about Max Scherzer's feelings.
I don't care about his feelings either, but you don't relieve a starting pitcher of the caliber of Max Scherzer after 2 batters.
Mace, what are you talking about? Last year, 3 different teams started playoff games with an opener.
Yeah, you're saying Max Scherzer you're going to use as an opener.
Not if he doesn't.
And not even let him finish the first inning.
If he loads the bases with nobody out, you're doing nothing.
You might get somebody up, but can I make you feel a little bit better, Mace? The 2 games that Max Scherzer pitched.
Do you have some sort of medication?
Yeah, I do. It's honey and lemon and hot water. So Max Scherzer he pitched in Coors Field, which is just a nightmare for anybody. I don't care who you are. Then he pitched against the San Diego Padres, who he has a massive issue with. He does not pitch well against the Padres. He gave up a grand slam to a Padres relief pitcher earlier this year. These are things that have happened. He is still the best pitcher in the game. He is the right guy for the wild card game. He is going to pitch well. Be okay.
Just puts me on edge.
I think that I just win that game. By the way, Mace, so over the weekend, I had a stomach bug the likes of which I have never seen, like curled up in a ball on the floor bad.
Ugh.
And my friend Patrick, shout out to my friend Patrick Seeholzer, starts texting me, I've got the cure of what will get you out of this.
Okay.
And I wrote, what? And he wrote back one word.
Mm-hmm.
Tequila.
Tequila,
Do you have any tequila? Now, I did not take him up on it. Like, half hour later, he texted me back. He goes, seriously, tequila. It will kill any stomach bug. It'll kill any bug anywhere. Mace, take a shot of tequila. Cowboy up like the Red Sox in 2004, and you'll be good as new.
Well, I'm NyQuil'd up, and I've got a cup of hot tea with whiskey in it.
Well, that helps anything.
Yeah.
So I think you're on the road to recovery.
Coming up exactly.
Next, we will spin the wheel of questions, and we'll get you ready for what looks like it's going to be a monster sports weekend. We got Dodgers. We got Rams. We've got the Traffico all in the same day. Not to mention the Lakers open the preseason on Sunday against the team that is favored to meet them in the finals, the Brooklyn Nets. A lot of stuff going on. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland. Mason's back. Jorge's here. Greg's here. Reminder, we are giving away a pair of tickets to the Cardinals-Rams game this Sunday at SoFi Stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff. If you can determine the lie of the day, I'll tell a lie, or maybe I've told a lie already.
Yep, yep.
And if you can figure it out, you you get two tickets to the Ram game on Sunday. We keep reminding people, by the way, that Sunday, if you have tickets to any of these games, the traffic's probably going to be crazy. Dodger game starts at noon. Laker game starts at 12:30. That one's at Dodger game at Dodger Stadium. Laker game at Staples. 1 o'clock at SoFi. Rams, Cardinals. And, oh, by the way, just for good measure, 5 o'clock, the Traffico, LA Galaxy hosting LAFC. All happening on Sunday.
Wow.
Time to spin the wheel of questions. Spin it, Jorge. Huh.
Huh.
All right, here it is.
Okay.
What would you wear if you had to wear the same outfit every day for the rest of your life? So you pick one outfit. Bergman, what are you going with?
This is the easiest question you've ever given me, John. This is not only what I would wear, this is my life goal. I want to wear a t-shirt, shorts, sandals, and that's it for the rest of my life every single day.
Okay, so...
And I don't care what type they are. You can put little bunnies on it for all I care.
I would put bunnies on it just because you said that. But I don't think you've thought this out. That would rule you out of any type of formal... Like you would
they
go
have
to work.
Deal with it, John.
You would go to work that way.
Yes.
You would go to weddings that way.
Yep.
You would go to job interviews that way.
Yep, sure would.
Jorge, how about you?
Dark blue jeans, black V-neck T-shirt, and black sneakers. That's it.
See, okay, so there you go. That's kind of a classier look.
That's it.
Yeah, mine is very similar to Jorge's. I'm going full Steve Jobs. Jeans, black turtleneck, black sneakers. That's it. Because you can kind of get that to blend in with anything. And if it's cold, you've got a long sleeves. If it's hot, you're not too hot. I would just literally take a page out of the Steve Jobs wardrobe playbook.
Well, you're never going to the beach, that's for sure.
Yeah, that would take me out of that. Mace, what are you going with?
Well, I live in a hoodie. I mean, I have about 5 hoodies that are in hot rotation. Every day I wear a hoodie. So a hoodie's got to be part of it. I could go jeans, but I wear sweatshorts most of the time. I think I would go sweatshorts and slides and a ball cap. That's it.
Like Bill Belichick, huh?
Yeah, like Bill Belichick, exactly.
Yeah, except has Belichick ever worn a hat?
I don't think he's a hat
Belichick
guy.
Belichick in a hat. I've seen him in
a hoodie.
I'm
a big hat guy.
Yeah, I've seen him in a hoodie. Greg, I also thought, what are you going to do if it ever gets cold?
If it gets cold, then I put a blanket on, and I walk around with a blanket.
You walk around town with a blanket on?
Look, whatever I got to do to be comfortable, this is my life goal. Yeah. I'm not even joking about this. This is real. Yeah. I actually want
Sadly,
to wear shorts, sandals, and t-shirt
you know what, though,
all the time.
Here's the thing. I always put comfort over style.
Yes, thank you, Mice.
I mean, style is great. I look at NBA players, and they're all styled up, or NFL players after games, they're all styled up, and I'm like, God, that seems like so much work. I'd just much rather wear a hoodie and sweatshorts.
How do you think it would go for me if I stole the Russell Westbrook look of wearing big glasses frames with no lenses in them?
Oh, that'd be
you
cool.
You think
John.
I could pull that off?
Oh, for sure.
John, if you could pull off a onesie, you can pull off those glasses.
I may do it.
Who
just
says he pulled off the onesie?
Oh, I mean, he did.
What are you talking about? Who says I pulled off the onesie? I rocked that thing. You wouldn't have worn the pineapple onesie. Come on.
Wait, what's the story for the onesie?
I lost a bet to Mason, and the bet was I had to wear whatever he told me to. So he found, I'm just going to say it, Mace, the gayest looking romper in the history of rompers.
It was
light blue. I'll send you a picture of it, Jorge. It was light blue with a giant pineapple on it. And so in the middle of a show, I had to basically go put this on. And so I just owned it. And I would say I wore it with quite convincingly. If you put me in one of those Who Wore It Best things in Us Magazine, I easily would win. By the way, Carlos Sisu has a picture of it. So Carlos,
he definitely
send me
has
the
a picture of it.
Okay, so we got a second here, I wanted to ask you guys something. Have you seen that you can now, they have made odds on what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick will do at the end of the game on Sunday?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so these are real odds. They just went to an odds maker and said, what's the likely scenario if those two guys meet? All right? So Hug is the strong, strong favorite. About a 90%. You're minus 900 if you bet on the Hug. Handshake, you're plus 900.
Okay.
So you bet $1,000, you get 1,900 back on the handshake. No embrace or no acknowledgement is off the board. Bergman, I want $1,000 on the handshake.
$1,000 on the handshake.
I want $1,000 on the Hug.
You want $1,000 on the Hug. You know, yeah. George, you only get 900 if you win. I get 1,900 if I win.
All right.
Mace, you want in on this? Hug, handshake?
I think it's going to be a Hug.
That's off the board, John.
That's off the board.
No, no. The Hug is minus 900. No.
We can't do the same bet. You made this rule.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
Rule.
Okay, yeah. So then if you think it's going to be a Hug, then just stay up.
I think Belichick's going to flip him the bird.
How much is
that? You put $1,000 on it?
Screw you, Tom.
What do you get for that? Like, is there
that
odds
on that?
That
would be the most famous use of the middle finger in sports history, wouldn't it?
Yeah, just Belichick flipping the bird. Screw
okay.
you.
The other thing I noticed about this game is that the average ticket price for this particular regular season game has now gone over $1,000. It's $1,010 for the average ticket price just to get in the game. That's the most expensive ticket in Boston sports history. So
and that's saying something. More than any Red Sox game?
More than any Red Sox game, more than any Celtics game, seven. Ooh. More than any Patriots Super Bowl game. You know, obviously, the Super Bowls aren't in New England. But, Mace, you're the one person I know who has been willing to spend a lot of money on big sporting events. You spent
yes.
a lot of money to go to the Rams Super Bowl. You spent a lot of money to go to Game 7 of the Dodgers World Series against the Astros. What, like, do you remember how much you spent on Game 7 of the Astros? How much per ticket? You remember?
I want to say it was $2,000 a seat.
Okay, and then for the Super Bowl, a little more than that, right?
$2,500 a seat.
Okay. As you look back,
and by the way, that's one of my rules in life is, if you got to spend money on spend on an experience,
spend
on
a
something
memory.
You're gonna
okay.
remember. Yeah.
Now, neither one of those things went your team's
They're
way.
They're terrible memories. Yeah.
Right, but do you have any regrets about if somebody calls you and says, "Hey, I'm a huge Patriots fan. I'm a huge Brady fan, but I'm thinking about dropping $2,000 so me and my wife can go see Brady Belichick, and I'm sitting in the nosebleeds." Would you encourage him or discourage him from buying $1,000 ticket?
I would encourage him. I mean, there's something different about being there. There's something different about being part of it. There's something different about being able years from now to say, I was there when, or as you like to say, I was in the building when. Like,
right.
you use that expression all the time. I was in the building for this.
Right.
There's something meaningful about being in the building, being part of it, being in the middle of it all. So I would say, yes, spend, if you're going to spend money, spend it on experiences and stuff you're going to remember.
I can't think of a bigger waste of money than this would be. Here's why. The game doesn't mean anything. All right, it's a regular season game.
Oh, John,
in week
I think
four.
To those people it means everything.
But wait a minute. If it was a playoff game, like I understand the money you spent.
Because they were big games.
Right. Matter of fact, in the two events we're talking about with you, they can't get any bigger.
Yeah.
Game 7 of a World Series, Super Bowl, your team's in it. I get that. For week 4 of a regular season game,
I know, but there's
between
only
a 1-3
return
team,
to Foxborough.
Wouldn't that money have been better spent going to the Super Bowl last year? Or waiting to see if Brady makes it back to the Super Bowl this year? Why do you want to go to a regular season game in Boston
where the weather's
going to be miserable?
I think it would be Boston fans who are buying tickets to this game, not Tampa Bay fans.
Well, Brady fans, yeah.
Brady fans.
I think the biggest thing here, though, is that who is going in their right mind? I don't even care if they're Boston fans is going to say, I was at the game that Brady came back. I mean, who cares?
Oh, no, I think people remember when they were at the game when LeBron James went back to Cleveland after he had left for Miami.
But
I
that
think
was
people
just
remember
a festival of hate.
Yeah, right. I know, but you were there. You were there for it. You were there for it. I was at that game. I mean, how many times do we say, I mean, I always feel lucky when I'm in a game that people remember afterwards, that people talk about afterwards. People will always talk about the game that Tom Brady went back to Foxborough, and especially, you know, especially if he manages or if New England manages to upset him. It's a great story if he manages to upset Tom Brady.
But the game means literally zero. The winner and the loser, it doesn't matter. They still have the 16 weeks to come back.
Do people talk about when Joe Montana went back to San Francisco?
No, but
or Jerry Rice went back to San Francisco with the Raiders?
San Francisco got rid of Joe Montana.
Right,
that's what was different.
I mean, the Patriots basically got rid of Tom Brady.
I was at the game where Shaq came back to the Lakers after they traded him to Miami. And it was cool. I mean, it was fun, but I wouldn't have spent $1,000
Yeah, but this is a 20-year run and 6 Super Bowls. It's really different. And it is, I mean, it's one of the eternal questions is, was it Tom Brady or was it Bill Belichick?
Well, I think that's been answered.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You think it's already answered?
Yeah. Brady left and won a Super Bowl the first year he was gone. Belichick didn't make the playoffs.
So Belichick's not the greatest coach of all time anymore.
He is, but if you're asking who is more...
Wait a minute. He's not. It sounds like he's not the greatest coach of all time. If you think it was all Brady... Hello? Hello? You're on the air. Go.
What is Hi, it's George in the South Bay. I'm just calling because I've been listening to you guys. First time, long time, I'm a P1 listener.
Nice. Thank you.
I wanted to make sure I get in on weighing on this debate that you guys are having about this Tom Brady game. And look, normally I would agree with John Ireland here, where it's week 4, the Patriots are probably going to get their butts kicked in this one. But, you know, I'm going to align with Mason on this because the LeBron thing made sense to me. It clicked to me. With that game, when he went back to Cleveland, was an event, and this will be an event. There's a reason NBC, you know, started promoting it a week in advance during their previous game. There are going to be people there reacting in a way we haven't seen them react to a player one way or another in a really long time.
George, when you were mean to your mom as a kid, and you, what did she hit you with? A broom?
A broom. So here's what happened. She originally tried to like smack me in the head. And I did, like, a high block, like, you know, like Daniel LaRusso in The Karate Kid.
Very nice.
So she looked at me and just nodded and then walked away very calmly. And I was like, all right, whatever that was. So I went back to, I don't know, playing video games or whatever I was doing. I might have been, like, 12 or 13 years old. And then I walked out of my room. And as I was walking out of my room, the only thing I see in the doorway is at the head of a broom coming right at my face. And then she hit me in the head, and it knocked me right back into my bed.
I love your mom for that story, but the reason I bring it up is if I were near you right now, I would hit you in the head with a broom. You have two small children. If you dropped $2,000...
Yeah, but wait a minute. Take the children out of it, because that's not fair.
But it's $2,000. George, just the fact that we're friends... Why don't you take your money, roll the window down, and throw it out the window? You've got a big screen TV. You can save $2,000. Watch it on TV. What are you doing?
Look, I personally would not go there. I personally would side with you. But if you are a Patriots fan, that is absolutely an event you want to be at, which is why Mace is right.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Hey. I'll tell you, the three words I love more than any other. Mace is right. I love those words.
Hey,
they
by the way, Sedano,
so
did Kaplan buy my argument that I think Jennifer Aniston should go out with him, or did he laugh me off?
What the hell did you think he did? Of course he agreed with you. I mean, he believes this like is a real thing. He has as much of a chance. he has as much of a chance of getting with Jennifer Aniston as Mace regaining his voice in the next 5 minutes.
I'll have you know, Sedano, that Julia Roberts, when she was the biggest star in the world, married Lyle Lovett. If Scott Kaplan, he's no Lyle Lovett. He's got a shot with Jennifer Aniston, I think.
You know what Lyle Lovett has over Scott Kaplan? He's a musician, okay?
Yeah.
You can be the ugliest musician in the world, but a woman or anyone will fall in love with you because you're simply just a musician. It's just a different vibe. There is a different level of fame when you're a musician. I don't care how good-looking or ugly you are.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
George, I want to ask you something because I listen. You know, I'm a regular listener to the Sedano and Cap show. As you know, I text during the show and all that stuff.
The
one thing I notice about the show is you are constantly irritated with Kaplan. I mean, it's like the show is about you being annoyed with Scott Kaplan. Is that fair to say?
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely 100% fair to say. And it's kind of like I was joking with somebody today. I said, it's like having a third child, you know, and just I've got to bring him along with me sometimes. But I will say this. He is a great sport about me and the entire crew, Laura and Lindsay, making fun of him, which, to be honest, is all that really matters here, is the fact that he's willing to be made fun of. And by the way, he welcomes it because, as Greg pointed out on this show when you were off yesterday, even his children complain about the way he breathes and eats, which, last time I checked, is pretty essential to living.
Yeah, I think that you guys are being unfair to Scott Kaplan. I think he's a media mogul with his own empire, his own website. He's a former NFL player.
He has an app.
He has competed in and completed a triathlon.
He can't do as many push-ups as my man George Sedano.
I think if we lead with those things, George, entrepreneur, played in the NFL, competed and completed a triathlon, that Jennifer Aniston at least shows up for coffee. I think you're underselling my boy Cap.
If Jennifer Aniston heard Scott's son Justin call in last Friday to say that his dad was a dumbass because he wouldn't remember his own birthday.
Yes, I heard this.
The day that Justin was born, then okay. He's got no shot with Jennifer.
Right.
I would imagine Jennifer is a family person, I would guess.
But Sedano, we both know that he may not have remembered Justin's birthday, but I bet he could tell you when Jennifer Aniston's birthday is.
Well, he didn't remember his own daughter's birthday. He literally gave me the wrong date on her, too. Like, so I don't think he can remember anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Sedano, the alliance lives, man. Thank you.
You got it, man. Get yourself some, Vicks or something going on with that voice, man. Get that going.
Hey, Sedano, before you hang up, what do you think the fallout is today of the Sixers deciding not to pay Ben Simmons?
I just think that it's just the declaration of war, basically.
Right,
I
isn't
think
it?
And by the way, I expected this fully. Ramona and I talked about this on The Jump earlier this week. Everybody has expected this. This is just where we're at now. I would say this, though. If I'm Philly, if I'm the owners of Philly and Daryl Morey and Doc, I would be leery of this. I don't think this was the right move because other players and agents are going to look at this and look at them sideways. I don't think this was the right way to go about this.
All right, so settle an argument. Mason says that eventually, and we know Daryl a little bit. We've known him for a long time. Mason says eventually Daryl's going to say to Ben, you come in, show up, or we're not giving you a penny. I think Ben's going to stick to his guns. I don't think he ever puts on a Sixers uniform again, not even a practice jersey. What do you think?
I'm with you, Ireland. By the way, he gets paid four times a year. This payment they missed today was the second payment. So he's already got $8.25 million in the bank to just sit out the year if he needs to. So, yeah, I'm with you, Ireland. I don't think he's going anywhere. He is staying in L.A., hanging out until this thing gets resolved.
Yeah, I just think I watched you on The Jump today. I just think who wants him at this point?
Oh, there are teams. A bunch of teams are calling. There's no question. Like,
who's
Zach
willing to give up a premium level talent for him?
All right. Hey, by the way, Sedano, I texted this to Michael last night. Right now, considering everything that's going on with both people, Ben Simmons straight up for Kyrie Irving. Who says no?
I think the Nets. I think Sean Marks would do that deal, but independent of Kevin Durant. But Kyrie has already threatened, or at least it's been reported, that he's threatened to retire if they dealt him. So that would be bad news for Philly. So knowing that, I don't know if Philly would do that. Honestly, Philly would, if I'm Philly, granted, of course they would want Damian Lillard, but, you know, even C.J. McCollum may be a good fit for them at this point. I think eventually he gets dealt. I don't think it's for a Damian Lillard top 10 type player, but I think he gets dealt because as the season progresses, if Philly starts off slow, oh, man, all the leverage goes to Ben Simmons then.
Yeah, probably. Then they probably have to make a move. All right, George, are you on today?
I am. I will be on in approximately 2 hours.
All right, okay. Excellent. Thanks for chipping in, man.
Thanks, George.
See you guys.
All right, there's Sedano, and he'll be coming up at 3:55. All right, Mace, coming up next, I don't know if you've heard about this national debate that is going on about Lane Kiffin.
Mm.
Michael Wilbon kind of went scorched earth on Lane.
Okay.
Basically called him a walking embarrassment.
Hmm.
And social media is now divided between pro Lane and anti Lane camps. We'll play you what Wilbon said. We'll tell you how Lane responded. We'll get into that next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.